from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Friday, March 27th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Former Mecklenburg County Sheriff candidate Ricky Robbins is joining the agency's leadership team as chief deputy, effective April 1st. Sheriff Gary McFadden won the primary race with 33% of the vote to 31% for Robbins. Two other candidates also ran. No Republican filed to run for the office, effectively making the Democratic primary the deciding race. About 2,700 votes separated the top two candidates. Last year, McFadden's chief deputy Chris Allen resigned, citing a hostile work environment. He had replaced Kevin Canty as chief deputy. Canty had called Sheriff McFadden unfit for office. Robbins brings over 40 years of law enforcement experience to his new role. In 2024, Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools set a goal to increase the percentage of students on track to be enrolled in higher education, enlisted in the military, or employed upon graduation. The latest estimates show the district is on track to meeting its goals and might do so earlier than planned. James Farrell has more.
While the latest data is still unofficial, CMS says it's projecting 85% of graduating students will meet the criteria for the 25-26 school year. If that holds, the district will have hit the goal number 3 years ahead of schedule. Superintendent Crystal Hill said that prior to the goal, there wasn't a system-wide approach to getting kids to look beyond graduation.
And pretty much it's, let's make sure that we check the boxes you need for English courses. You need this. You're just taking classes, but it's not, the goal is just to graduate. It's not necessarily the goal of what you're going to do after graduation.
Now, teachers track student progress to ensure they're meeting several indicators, like scoring at certain levels on the ACT or SAT, completing a CTE pathway, or earning college credits. CMS has had more success with this goal than its other three, which deal with literacy and math achievement, and have hovered below the district's targets. James Farrell, WFAE News.
A local Republican is dropping out of his race for the Mecklenburg County Commission after someone last month fired gunshots into his house while his family was inside. Nick Della Canal has more.
Aaron Marin was inside his Huntersville home with his wife and children when an unknown shooter fired multiple rounds into the property at 7:45 on a Monday night, leaving behind a trail of shell casings in the road. No one was struck. But in a statement to media outlets, Marin says the shooting 6 weeks ago turned his family's lives upside down and left an emotional and psychological impact on his children. The FBI and local police were investigating the shooting as a targeted attack, but have made no arrests. Marin says that lack of resolution led him to the difficult decision to withdraw from the race for county commission and move out of his district. He was the only Republican in the District 1 race. Nick Della Canal, WFAE News.
Investment management firm Capital Group says it has selected Charlotte for its new East Coast operations hub. In Thursday's announcement, the company says it chose Charlotte because of its strong financial services ecosystem and growing talent base. The move is expected to create some 600 new jobs with a capital investment of $60 million. The state has agreed to give the company more than $17 million in economic incentives if the company meets job creation and investment goals. After nearly a decade of work in Charlotte, a nonprofit is shuttering a program that supported economic mobility. Kenneth Lee has more.
Leading on Opportunity will close its doors this summer. It's an organization that has supported economic mobility growth in Charlotte. The shift comes as the group says Charlotte needs have changed from a focus on economic mobility improvements to immediate needs like public safety and transportation. The group was spurred by Raj Chetty's 2014 report that ranked Charlotte dead last for economic mobility. A decade later, Charlotte has moved up to 38 among cities in the U.S., though current initiatives won't bear measurable fruit for years to come. The organization has been involved in initiatives like pushing voters to approve a $100 million investment in affordable housing and the mayor's racial equity initiative that included funding for Johnson C. Smith University. Officials said the Robinson Center at Foundation for the Carolinas will assume the stewardship of the Opportunity Campus Dashboard, tracking metrics. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
The Charlotte Hornets continue to climb the playoff ladder, downing the New York Knicks last night 114-103. The Hornets are back in action Saturday night at 6, hosting the Philadelphia 76ers, one of the teams they're chasing for playoff seeding with just 9 games left in the regular season. A board member for the North Carolina Department of Transportation said Wednesday night that if Charlotte rejects a plan to build toll lanes on Interstate 77, he would question whether the state should fund other transportation projects in the city. Opponents of the I-77 project said those comments were a threat designed to intimidate local officials. Steve Harrison has this report.
13 years ago, the General Assembly created a new way to rank transportation projects in North Carolina. The idea was to remove politics from deciding what gets built where, with a points-based system weighing congestion and other needs. But during a meeting of the Charlotte Regional Transportation Planning Organization Wednesday night, DOT board member Steven Rosenberg said if local leaders reject the I-77 toll lane project, he would question whether the state should be funding other Charlotte road projects.
If this transportation board decides not to go through with this, whether they can or cannot, I'm not an attorney. I'll stay out of that discussion. It's going to affect other work we're doing, too. Let's be realistic here.
Rosenberg was appointed to the DOT board by the legislature in 2000. He continued,
we've probably spent about $50 million on this already. So if the city doesn't want this, then I, as a board member, would say, well, what does the city want? Should we be involved in these other projects?
There is currently an intense debate over the I-77 toll lane project from uptown to the South Carolina line. Residents in some historically black neighborhoods near uptown have said the highway widening will hurt their communities, just as the original highway construction did decades ago, separating them from uptown. Others, like the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance, are pushing for the project to move forward because I-77 is one of the most congested highways in the state. Toll lane opponents said Rosenberg's comments were a threat meant to intimidate Charlotte City Council members.
It really was a shocking thing to hear from a member of the Board of Transportation.
That's Megan Kimball with the Southern Environmental Law Center.
I think the implication was to threaten elected officials into staying the course, even though they may think they may want to continue to look at this project and consider whether it really is best for Charlotte.
The Charlotte City Council is the key player in the I-77 debate because the city has more than 40% of the vote on the Charlotte Regional Transportation Planning Organization. Kimball said state law does not allow for DOT board members to interject themselves into the state transportation improvement program. If the CRTPO rejected I-77, that wouldn't impact other state projects like widening Steel Creek Road. She also said that if CRTPO rejected the current I-77 plan, transportation projects in other cities would compete for the $600 million set aside for the toll lanes. Charlotte could still resubmit the project in the future, she said.
But again, the best project wins. So Charlotte has just as good a chance of having that money returned to Charlotte as any other place in the state.
Charlotte City Council members are torn over the project. Many do not want to see black residents displaced, but they also do not want to hurt their relationships with the DOT and the business community. Council members were scheduled to hold a special meeting about the toll lanes Wednesday, but abruptly canceled it without offering an explanation. Here's toll lane opponent Shannon Benz with Sustain Charlotte.
Yeah, I think it was a classic fear-mongering technique, trying to essentially bully or threaten the city into doing what MCDOT wants to do.
For now, most council members are supporting the DOT's decision to delay moving forward until June to listen to the concerns of residents. The state has also said it will ask contractors for alternative designs. But given the size and scope of the project, two toll lanes in each direction, there may not be many ways to lessen the impact. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
And for Friday, March 27th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.